You are very welcome to a different ball game on Classic Hits this Friday, the 13th of November. Friday the 13th, Shane Dowling. Lucky for some.
Or unlucky for others, Louise.
The most important thing is that it's a lucky one for you at home, wherever it is you're tuning us in from. And whatever county you're cheering for this weekend, get in touch. Let us know on 087 188 0008. We are a different ballgame, kindly sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick. Check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Or as you say, Shane.
Mickey Shoes.
The only spot for Brogy. We have got the most incredible lineup on the show this evening. This is a statistic that you're going to want to hear about. On the show tonight, between my lovely co-host Shane Dowling and all of the guests joining us, there are 10 All-Ireland Championship medals. Not a bad haul, Shane.
No, not a bad haul, Louise. Very lucky to have one, as does my namesake, Shane McGrath. And then we've got Taggy Fogarty coming up. But to be honest, Louise, he should have stuck to the dancing. 8 All-Ireland medals only coming from him and isn't really good enough.
I think it's absolutely just fine, and I cannot wait to chat to all of the lads as mentioned. Shane, one thing very quickly that we've realised across the last 4 weeks is that this championship is unique, it's historic, but more than anything, it is full of surprises. Massive surprises last weekend.
Yeah, but Louise, I'm not one bit shocked. I mean, when you look at the way this championship is, especially in the football, you have one chance and you're out the door. You look at Kerry, hot favourites to beat Cork down in the park. Didn't happen. They're gone. No more championship for them. And this weekend with the hurling, there's going to be some big teams and their year is going to be over as well very, very quickly. For one of these next two teams, their season is certainly going to be over. Tipperary play Cork in the Gaelic grounds this Saturday. A huge game that we're all going to be looking forward to. I'm very lucky, Louise. I'm going to be in attendance. And I was also very lucky that I was able to catch up with 2010 All-Ireland winner Shane McGrath earlier on this week to give us his thoughts on the game. And this is what he had to say.
Hi guys, Shane McGrath, Tipperary here. Massive game at the weekend, Tipperary and Cork on Saturday in the Gaelic grounds. I suppose they've played 8 times now since 2010. Tip have 5 wins, Cork have 2, and there was a draw a couple of years ago. So what you're going to have, in my opinion, is you're going to have a high-scoring game. The last few times we've played have been 50-plus scores. I just feel that the last time Tip and Cork played in a knockout game, 2014 All-Ireland semi-final, and Tip came out on top. And I just think that because it's knockout, I think it's really an era-defining game for this Tipperary squad. And I just think that there's a massive performance in him, and I think it's coming on Saturday. Can't see Mark Coleman getting the same amount of space as he got in the ball against Dublin, 33 possessions in the game. You know, Cork didn't rely on Patrick Horgan the last day because Robbie O'Flynn stepped up, so that's a massive boost for them. But I suppose the interesting thing will be what Tipperary team will be picked. Will they go more physical? Will they go, you know, more guys who are really lively on the feet? They're given a lot of rain before the game on Saturday, so you could find that the pitch could play heavy. But I'm going to go for a Tip win by 4 or 5 points, and for Tip to be in the hat for the next round of the draw.
What a lovely person. That was Shane McGrath there from Tipperary, giving us his thoughts ahead of the Cork and Tip game. Shana, we don't have time, and it's probably not appropriate to tell the story about you and Shane McGrath at Subway one night on air, is it?
Yeah, I think 3 o'clock in the morning up O'Connell Street, the two of us had a race. That was at a time when I could run, Louise.
Oh, enough said on that one. Listen, we've got to talk all about this game. It's going to be brilliant. Look, Tipperary, we know, Shane, they're reigning All-Ireland champions. We heard Shane McGrath say it there. He reckons it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, I would agree with him with that. I mean, Tipperary and Cork, two, you know, really good stick teams. Like, you know, the one thing I'd say, if I'm Kieran Kingston here, like, there's been so much questions asked to the Tipperary backs and their pace down through the years. The Cork forwards are so quick. I would love to see them take on the Tipperary half back line, and indeed the Tipperary full back line, to see where that gets them. In saying that, Tipperary, they're All-Ireland champions, did a really heavy defeat to Limerick, but it wasn't even a defeat, it was a manner in how they played. And knowing Liam Sheedy, he's going to have these boys well wound up for this game. So listen, I think it's going to be a great game to look forward to. Cork obviously had a big win against Dublin. In saying that, I was disappointed with Dublin. I think Cork had a huge amount of space. You know, Robbie Flynn getting 5 points in play, he had a huge amount of space. Mark Coleman, as Shane said, getting a huge amount of ball. I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend.
Okay, Shane, you mentioned the Tip attack there. They struggled against Limerick the last day. Will they be as quiet tomorrow?
It's hard to see, like, you know, and I suppose, you know, when you go back to that Limerick game, the conditions, as we spoke about, were crazy, Louise. I don't imagine that's going to be the case on Saturday. But, like, from the Tipperary point of view, right, there's great characters in that team, like, you know, All-Ireland winning people, and they're not going to settle for what happened. And I would imagine that over the last couple of weeks with Tipperary and the training, and as I said, knowing Liam Sheedy, like, they've steel in them. Them forwards are going to really want to showcase to the country what they're made of. And I know you said their forwards weren't great against Limerick, but neither were their backs, you know. And as I said, I just think that the winning beginning of this game for Cork can be, and you know, if they can just take on them Tipperary defenders, you know, ask the question and see the response that they get from them. Because I still think that both teams are coming in with question marks over them. Cork, you know, I thought Dublin were poor. I'm not saying that Cork weren't good or anything like that. And Tipperary then on the back of the Limerick defeat. So to call it, Louise, is very, very difficult. But if I had to, and I know I have a bit of Tipperary blood in me, I would go with them because I just think that they're, you know, they have a small bit more in than Cork.
You're going to call Tip to win it by how much?
I think it'd be very close. I think 3 or 4 points is all it's going to be in either way, but I do think that Tipperary will come out on top.
Right, let's keep moving on. And the other side of that draw, of course, is Clare v Wexford, another All-Ireland qualifier. And it's Davy against Brian Lohan. We know that these two don't see eye to eye at all. In fact, there is no relationship there. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing. And I think if you ask Davy and Brian themselves, they'd say it's disappointing too. Like, I suppose I look back on all my teammates with Limerick Louise, I would hate to think that I would have no relationship with any of them in years to come. You know, obviously that just gone and knowing them all so well, at the minute that's not going to be the case. But down the road, I'd hate to think that I'd fall out with anyone, especially someone that you went to war with for so many years. So it's very, very strange. And considering, like, you know, goalkeeper and fullback, like, they would have had a bigger relationship than most players in the field. So very, very strange. But it is what it is. I don't think, like, that's going to be a talking point in the media, but on the pitch I don't think it's going to make any bearing at all.
Let's talk about on the pitch, right, because we are expecting Wexford to put in a much better performance than the one they gave against Galway. What are you expecting them to have changed since that game?
Their attitude and their work rate. You know, the hurling ability is in them. You know, they've trained hard. They didn't become bad hurlers overnight. So I think their attitude and their work rate is the big thing. And, you know, Davy to get a bit of fire back in their belly, because in fairness, like, I even thought Davy himself was quiet on the sideline last week, or 2 weeks ago when they were playing. So that's what I expect to see from Wexford. From Clare, I still don't know where they are. They were very disappointing against Limerick. They only got over the line by 1 point against Laois, albeit they had a man sent off. But, you know, for me, Louise, I would be fairly shocked if Wexford didn't win this game, to be honest.
Okay, it's interesting you say that, because look, Davy knows Clare inside out, especially that team, and I'm thinking of the likes of Tony Kelly here. Davy is going to know that, you know, I hate to use the word man mark, but they're nearly going to need to group mark Tony Kelly, because what he's capable of on his own. Do you think that that's the tact Davy will take?
Yeah, well, he'll definitely look at it, because, I mean, look at the two games that Clare have played. You take him out of that, you know, Clare would have been well beaten, really. But you look at all the other teams across the country, they haven't been depending on one player. So, yeah, Davy will definitely know, and he'll have the inside track more than anyone of how to go about that. And I would be surprised if he didn't have that nailed on.
You said that you thought Clare Tip would be a high scoring game. Do you expect similar scoring patterns in this game?
Not as high as Cork and Tip, I don't. Not the way Wexford play. I don't. But I don't think, again, you know, from both teams, Louise, high scoring, low scoring, neither team is going to care. They just want to win and get their county into the hat for the next round of the qualifier.
And who's going into that hat, are you telling me?
I think it's Wexford.
Right, more of this on the way very shortly. We will be back here on a different ball game. You are listening to Classic Hits. Get in touch with the show 087 188 0008 and let us know who you're shouting for this weekend. We're back after these.
You are very welcome back to a different ballgame here on Classic Hits, sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes Limerick. You can check them out on michaelgleesons.com. Good man, Mickey Shoes. Louise, we have so much to get through. Tell me where we're heading for.
We have so much to get through, Shane. We're heading very close to home for both of us in this one, and maybe a little bit close to the heart for you, because this stage of the championship last year, you were climbing up steps to collect silverware. We are talking all things Munster final, Limerick v Waterford. It's going to be an epic game, and here to tell us his thoughts ahead of the match is former Waterford manager Derek McGrath.
You might not like hearing this, but I think Waterford are really good value at 7-2, 4-1 for the weekend. Shane will probably remember a night that Waterford came down to play in Martinstown against Napiershig. I think it's 2016, I'd say, Shane. I think Waterford will come with a similar formation at the weekend. They'll mirror what Limerick do. I think you'll have five of the Waterford forwards will form a wall across the middle of the field with their two midfielders. And ironically, the matchups will actually see, I'd say, wing forwards, marking wing forwards. Maybe with the exception of Tom Morrissey, might be tracked by either Caelan Lyons or Kevin Moran. But I think you'll see a situation where Tighe will just sit back, be happy even to concede possession to Keane Lynch or indeed a Garrod Hegarty. You might even see Garrod Hegarty tracked by a wing forward. And Waterford will bring the tactical approach will be to have it, as I said, very, very condensed in the middle of the field. I think Waterford are very hungry. I think Limerick's, you know, talk of Limerick's dominance is, whilst it won't permeate its way to the Limerick group because of the people over the team in Coyley and Cunningham and Kinnerk and Caroline Currid's influence is obviously very, very strong there as well. I just have a feeling in my gut like that Waterford's hunger and their tactical nous and the way they're approaching it may be enough to spring the surprise of the year. And Shane was very good to me on that night in question, directed me all the way to the road that was bringing me to Cavan after that match. And I just, you know, I think that's the approach that Waterford will take. I think they have the game in Limerick, thrive on having numbers wherever the ball is. And I think on Sunday next, they'll be surprised by the intensity, the physicality, and as I said, the guile of the Waterford setup. It'll be, there won't be a case where Limerick normally outnumber people everywhere. And I think in this scenario, I think Waterford will have their numbers right. And I'm just anticipating a massive show from Waterford. Whilst I'm on the show, I just like to sympathise with the Carey family on their loss. An awful loss puts into perspective the whole match itself, I suppose, and why we play it and why we go about it and who we represent. And, you know, serious loss to the Patrickswell community and to the family specifically. And look, enjoy the game. I hope it's a good one. Hoping for a Waterford win. And I think the two teams either way will be involved come semi-final.
I would also like to express my sincere condolences to the Carey family and that absolutely horrific loss to Paul. Patrickswell community absolutely shell-shocked, and as I said, I really am thinking about them at this time, as is everybody in the GAA circles and wider across the country.
Absolutely, Shane. I second everything you say, sending our deepest condolences to the Careys tonight and across the next few weeks. It's not an easy time. Okay, we're going to continue talking about the game right now. Shane, we heard Derek say there he's expecting a massive show from Waterford. Tactically, tell me, Shane, how do you see this game faring out? I mean, you know this team inside out.
Yeah, and I have great respect for Derek Luiz. I really liked him and I liked the way he carried himself. He was Waterford manager, an absolute gentleman as well, and have come across him a couple of times. A lovely, lovely man. And I think he's right in what he's saying, Luiz. You know, in terms of the tactical battle, I do firmly believe Waterford this year are the closest team in my eyes to try emulate the system that Limerick are playing. Their half-forward line is coming very, very deep. They're leaving one man inside, Daisy Hutchinson, a.k.a. Aaron Gallaghan, and the Limerick side. And what they're doing is they're working the ball to the optimum position and they're delivering that ball into him then. So even though the Limerick half-backs are going to sit, I don't think that they're going to be launching ball down on top of them all day long, you know. So and I think really what you'll see, that I think Derek hit the nail on the head here. The half-forwards are going to be marking the half-forwards. I don't think the Limerick half-forward are going to get the space that they got over the last two games.
Okay, so you mentioned Aaron Gallaghan. What players do you think John Kiely is going to be worried about?
Well, listen, you're not really worried about one particular player, especially not in this day and age. You're just, I suppose, looking to see what they're going to bring. And I think they're going to try bring the same intensity, the same work rate, the same physicality that Limerick are going to bring. And Daisy Hutchinson is a new find, Louise. Like, Ballygunner man had a fantastic club campaign with them. Professional soccer player over in England for a good couple of years. Like, I was seriously impressed with him and his club campaign with Ballygunner. He was also very, very good the last day as well. So I think that's something that they're definitely going to be keeping an eye on.
Okay, very quickly, Shane, before we move on, I'm going to just jump back to 2018, and I remember some famous words of yours on the sideline, standing on the side of the pitch in Croke Park. You told people not to get hyped up and not to get carried away and not to view Limerick as favourites heading into the All-Ireland final. Do you reckon the fact that Limerick are heading into this Munster final as favourites, it'll affect them?
I don't think it's going to affect them. I don't think it's going to affect their performance, especially when you have someone like Caroline Curry that's involved with the Limerick team, a sports psychologist. But you know, there has been a lot of hype, Louise. I mean, when you look back at you know, even this week, John Kiely, to my memory, as long as he's been involved with the Limerick team, has never not done a media conference the week before a game. He didn't do one this week. If I had to guess why, I would say it's because there's been so much talk and so much hype about Limerick, and he's just trying to keep it somewhat low key. But I do also believe, Louise, that, you know, a lot of media and a lot of people across the country are building Limerick up so high in the hope that they'll fail.
I know, Shane, it's hard for you to call this one impartially, but who do you reckon will lift the Munster Cup?
Well, Louise, I think for me, you know, Limerick are 4 years on the road with the same management, more or less the same panel, obviously a couple of additions, you know, and the same game plan over the last number of years. Waterford is their first year, new management, new system. For me, Louise, I'd love to think that Limerick are a small bit further down the road. So for that reason, Slim Knockaboo.
Let's move east across the country now, Shane, and chat about the Leinster final. Another game where there is silverware at stake. Kilkenny v Galway. And I believe that we've got an interesting take on this one.
Yeah, we do. Geez, I'm really looking forward to this game, Louise. And, you know, we could speak about it here all day, but there's only one man that knows a lot more about it than us. That is A-time All-Ireland winner Aidan Taggy Fogarty, a.k.a. Strictly Come Dancing Superstar. This is what he had to say.
I think it's going to be a really interesting contest between Kilkenny and Galway Saturday evening, the Leinster final. I suppose from a Kilkenny point of view, you're kind of wondering what kind of form they're in. Is it the first half performance where they blew Dublin out of the water and were absolutely awesome? Or is it the second half performance where they completely collapsed? And it's probably a mixture of both, but I think the collapse was due to maybe a little bit of inexperience in Kilkenny's side and the fact that they were up by 16 points in Croke Park. It can turn into a challenge match mentality very, very quick, and I think that kind of seeped into the Kilkenny players and allowed Dublin back into it. So I think for Saturday, Kilkenny will be coming with a far better, stronger mentality and a far better work rate, because look, they know Galway are a serious, serious team. They have beaten Kilkenny in the last two championship outings, and that will be a being a bonnet for Brian Cody, you know. And there is the Brian Cody factor as well, you know. Brian Cody is in a great position, I think, with Kilkenny. You know, didn't play well the last day for the full 70 minutes, coming in under the radar. You know, question marks about Kilkenny, you know, and I think all these things, if you look at the history over the years, are feeding into a performance maybe by Kilkenny. Anytime Galway beat Kilkenny, they were the underdog and they were coming in to kind of take down this Kilkenny team. But anytime that Galway are favourites, it doesn't sit well with them. It's not a tag that sits well with them. So unless Shane O'Neill has got into their heads and made them a little bit more grounded, a bit more hungry, and they did look like that the last day, in fairness. They were absolutely brilliant and they were a strong physical team. But they are coming in as favourites. So I'm just wondering that kind of a tag, whether it'll suit them or not. So I suppose there's two scenarios. If the real Galway turn up, the aggressive, the hungry, the motivating one, you know, the winning the hard ball in the tackle, they are going to be so, so hard to beat. You know, they have a serious forward line in Brian Concannon, Conor Whelan and Jason Flynn, you know, and Joel Canning then pulling the strings. So they're a really, really good forward line. But Kilkenny, you know, they bring that hard work. And if you look at the stats over the years, you know, Galway either beat Kilkenny by more than 7 or 8 points, or else they lose in a really tight battle. So if it's a tight battle, I think Kilkenny will win. But if Galway get the run on them, they will definitely they'll definitely pull away. So it could be either a 2-point win for Kilkenny, or else, you know, a 10-point win for Galway. That's the way I see it. Look, there's going to be huge factors as well. Key men to mark, TJ Reid, obviously, and Colin Fenley on the Kilkenny team. They have to be curtailed for Galway to win. And, you know, I think they have the players. Doughty Burke, I'm not sure how fit he is, but if he's back in, Doughty Burke could possibly take up TJ Reid. It'll be interesting to see. Garrod McInerney is playing a full back, but I suppose Kilkenny have been to rotate their forward, so it'll be harder to do that. But they will have to man mark TJ Reid, because he does pull the strings. And if TJ Reid does not play well for Kilkenny, Kilkenny will not win, because he is pulling the strings. Galway have more of a mix. You know, if Joe Canning is out of it, you have the likes of a Conor Whelan, a Conor Cooney to step up to the mark. And as I mentioned, him, Conor Whelan, superb form, and he'll probably be on Hugh Lawler, which will be a huge matchup as well. So Hugh Lawler on Conor Whelan, and TJ Reid maybe on Garrod McInerney maybe, or they might even pull back Pádraig Mannion, because he's a brilliant man marker, and he marked TJ before onto TJ Reid. So matchups are going to play a huge part of it. I think Kilkenny coming in under the radar is a dangerous for Galway. If Galway turn up to their potential, I think they are a better team. And if they win on Saturday, they will be through to an All-Ireland final, I think. But do not write off Kilkenny. I know they're underdogs. Galway are coming in with the favourite tag, which doesn't suit them. So it's going to be an intriguing contest.
There you have it, Aidan Fogarty. I tell you, he can dance, but he can also talk, Shane.
Yeah, he's well able to talk. Thank you so, man.
He had lots to say. And something that jumped out for me there, coming from a fellow Kilkenny man, was this is a massive statement, if you ask me. He said, if TJ Reid doesn't play well, Kilkenny will not win. Is that a massive amount of pressure to put on one player?
TJ's well and truly used to dealing with pressure, Louise. You know, he is, you know, he's obviously the marquee player. If he doesn't play well, are Kilkenny not going to win? BJ's, he mightn't be too far wrong now. He really does pull the strings, to echo the words that Taggy said there. So now, in saying that, I would have Colin Fenley high up there in terms of how much I rate him. So, you know, he's some man to get. And what I love about him is he's so direct. We spoke earlier on the show about Cork getting the ball, tapping it over the bar. For Colin, he puts the head down and goes for goal all the time. So, I mean, between the two of them, you know, they do need to be racking up a bit of a score to get Kilkenny over the line.
Shane, they're two big physical sides, right? What do you think the key matchups in the game are going to be?
Yeah, so listen, there's going to be some intriguing battles out there, Louise, and you hit the nail on the head there saying that, you know, two big physical teams, that's what they are going to be. Like, I suppose I saw firsthand, you know, 12 months ago or 16 months ago now, whatever it was, and we played Kilkenny in the All-Ireland semi-final. They ate Limerick alive in the first half, like with the physicality that they brought. And there's no reason why they can't bring that again. Like, I think Galway are going to win, right, because of how they played the last day against Wexford, albeit Wexford are poor. But I've seen the physicality that they can bring. And, like, there isn't too many teams in the country, if any, can live with them if they bring that. You're not just going to bring it down to one. Like, you look at Wally Walsh, like, a huge man, like, they've huge players all over the field, but so have Galway. But I was really impressed with Galway's hurling ability. Like, I know they're a strong team and I know they have great hurling ability, but I was really impressed by how sharp they were 2 weeks ago, and I just think that their hurling ability is probably a small bit better than Kilkenny. But then again, I would say that Limerick's hurling ability is better than Kilkenny, but it wasn't all about hurling ability last year when Kilkenny's physicality really won the day.
Okay, Shane, we are going to run out of time, so I just want to ask one more question. Look, we heard Aidan say there about TJ Reid, but likewise on the Galway team, we see, you know, a star player in Joe Canning. You know, we've all seen what Joe is capable of. Do you think that Galway are going to be depending on him massively this weekend?
No, not anymore, Louise. I think that was put to bed 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, Joe, obviously, you know, he is what he is. And, you know, in my player, I would say he's the greatest player I've ever seen play, being honest. I would have him that high. But I think, you know, over the last year or so, other players have been coming. And, you know, again, Taggy mentioned Conor Whelan. Like, he's been absolutely incredible. I think Cathal Mannion is one of the sexiest hurlers in the game. And I say that because his wrists are so, so good. And, I mean, you could, like, even, you know, the finding Fintan Burke fullback, you know, Shane Cooney centre-back, you go the whole way up the field. Shane O'Neill has found a lot of new players that were probably badly needed, and, you know, because of that, I do think that Galway are going to be able to push on this year. And while Limerick have been hyped up so much, for me, I think Galway are the team that have been, you know, probably just as impressive as Limerick this year. Reason being is because they found these new players.
Right, and you're not giving any credit to your fellow clubman, Shane O'Neill, for making that difference this year, no?
I'll give Shane a bit of credit later on here. Shane is always, I wouldn't say he was slow to give us credit. Shane a gentleman and a lovely man. And he so far, Louise, he's done a great job. But remember, a pat in the back is only 3 feet away from a kick up there.
Hey, on that one, we better get moving on. But well said, Shane. And look, you're tipping Galway there to lift the silverware in the east of the country. So we're going to have to move on to the football. I know that producer Dahi has promised he's going to report back next week all about our man Donegal. So he's heading up to Cavan at the weekend. We're going to chat about the Connacht final, Mayo v Galway. But before we do that, let's talk about some trending news that broke on social media on Thursday. Colin O'Riordan is returning home after a stint in Oz and returning to play with the Tipperary footballers. Obviously, something very similar broke in the media last week. Mark Keane doing the same thing. So your thoughts on this, Shane?
Before I give you my thoughts on that, Louise, how did news break 20 years ago before Twitter, Instagram and all these social media outlets? Can you answer that? Because, like, every bit of news we get nowadays is on Twitter. How in God's name was all this announced 20 years ago?
I know. Well, maybe it connects us all more. Are you saying it's a bad thing?
There's pros and cons of social media now, but anyway, that's not the time to get into that. My thoughts on it, Louise, listen, it's great for the game, you know, it's great for both managers and counties. I would be very suspicious of it, Louise, and I'll tell you why. Because if I'm a panel member with Cork footballers or Tipperary footballers, and I'm training hard for the last 8 or 9 months or 2 years, whatever it may be, and I'm playing in the positions or fighting for the positions that these lads are returning to play into, I'm not so sure I'd be happy that these would get in before me. And I know that, you know, within the one thing you need to create in a panel is, you know, a good bond, a good team spirit, and a trust that, you know, if you're putting the hard work in on the off the pitch, that you'll be, you know, credited by getting game time on the pitch. And if you bring these players on in game time, would that upset some players that are on the panel?
But Shane, can I just say, like, this is straight knockout, a championship like we haven't seen. And as you said last week, in 20 years, you know, we're going back to basics here. So I think managers are looking for horsepower. They're looking for people that are going to come on and deliver. And if someone returning from an AFL team is going to do that, then why wouldn't you be putting them in front and centre?
Because I think you could upset a lot of members in the panel. And I mean, you know, the bandwidth in a panel is what creates success, Louise, really, in my opinion. And I just think you could upset a lot of players. I know for me, and I suppose, you know, the setups that I've been involved in, you know, you train very hard, you work hard with your core group. If somebody is injured and they're, you know, still within the panel and they've rehab and all that, that's a totally different ball game. Or a different ball game even. But, you know, returning from Australia, you know, there's no debating or there's no denying the ability that they have. I just think it could cause a bit of ructions within certain panels. I think, I could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
Interesting. Okay, we could talk all day about this, Shane, but I am conscious that we're very tight on time. You are listening to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits with Michael Gleeson Shoes. You can check them out online now at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Right, Shane, let's chat the Connacht final, Mayo v Galway. Heading into this game, we're looking at some Galway injuries. Producer Dahi has told me that Damien Comer is ruled out of action, and Mayo, on the other hand, are looking quite good. How do you see the game going?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting, Louise. So, you know, talking about trending on Twitter, news breaking, Jimmy McGuinness, former Donegal winning manager, Jimmy's winning matches, was spotted, doing a training session with Galway. And if I had to guess, Louise, I have no idea here. You know, it's rare and random that you bring somebody in for one training session. And he was also with a team last year that won a county championship. Do you know what? I can't even say where because I actually forget, but I read an interview that he did. You know, and nobody knew about that because they were able to keep their powder dry. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's still with Galway. In saying that, that's only hearsay. That's only my opinion. I think we're up for an interesting game. Like Pádraig Joyce, Galway manager, Galway legend, lovely guy. You know, taking over, playing a different form from when Kevin Walsh was with Galway. Remember, Kevin Walsh got a lot of criticism for how he had the Galway team set up and playing. You know, in terms of their defence, how defensive they were. Mark O'Shea alluded to it last week that he thought Kerry played something similar. And then you've Mayo, you know, with, again, Big Aiden in at the edge of the square, Killian O'Connor hitting form, you know, Tommy Freeman there inside as well. So, you know, they've got listen, it's 2020. Could 2020 be the year of all years that Mayo could go on and win Sam? But they've a big hurdle in the way on Sunday.
It's been 2 weeks since Galway played their last game, whereas Mayo have played four on the trot. So, you know, we hear all these things about fatigue. I heard a lot of chat about it after Cork and Kerry last weekend. Do you think for Mayo fatigue will be an issue, or, you know, will it work in their advantage? Are they going to be firing on?
Well, I tell you this, Louise, if Mayo lose, people will say they've been on the road for 4 weeks, they're too tired. If they win, they'll say playing four games in the trot is brilliant. So, like, no matter, you know, and I think that's what happens, especially in the media times, that they follow trends of depending on results. It's trying to get people to call it beforehand is the problem. I think in the summertime, when the ground isn't as tacky and as hard to plough through, you know, I think it's easier. Coming into the winter, 4 weeks in the trot, I suppose it really depends on injuries. If you've a niggle, you've no time to recover. From what we know, Mayo have very little injuries. So for me, you gather momentum, Louise, you know, and you're week on week. And listen, during the week, they'd have done little to no training in terms of physical, right? Obviously, they'd have met up maybe twice or three times to go through a number of different bits and pieces. So for me, I think you build up momentum, and that's, I don't think you can buy that.
We are almost out of time here in A Different Ball Game this Friday, the 13th, but we cannot wrap up the show without doing our quick fire round. Shane, are you ready for this?
Ready as always.
Okay, as we do every week, Shane, we're going to start with your player to watch this weekend.
Daisy Hutchinson, for me, Louise, spoke about him earlier on. This is going to be his biggest test ever on a hurling field. I want to see how he reacts.
The tactic, Shane, you're looking out for.
So Wexford are known for their running game. Davy said he tried four different styles against Galway. I saw one. Will they continue with the running game, or are they going to deliver ball a lot more?
And finally, the underdog this weekend, Shane, who do you fancy as an underdog?
I think Cork will rattle Tip.
Your mammy wouldn't be happy with that.
And my mammy's fine. Once Limerick will win, mammy will be fine.
Whatever about Mammy Dowling, poor old Dahi Boland outside looking in at us won't be a bit happy with that at all. Right, that is us all out of time on tonight's show. You've been listening to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits with Michael Gleeson Shoes. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Shane, we're back next week.
Looking forward to Louise. Great weekend ahead, and I hope everybody has a safe and sound weekend.
See you next Friday.